The celebratory Bearhead only comes out for the biggest news, and Adam Flagler is returning to Baylor, 2021 national champion and the catalyst for a possible 2023 national championship. This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Breaking news in Baylor Nation. We have wondered. We've been in limbo. Will Adam Flagler return? And he is, guess who's back? Back again. Adam Flagler's back. Drake Toll alongside Brandon McKinnon with ODB, thanking you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. Brandon, I'm not sure if you can tell. I am excited.
I think I can tell. I'm also excited. I've watched the announcement video time and time again, and truthfully, I forgot how much he cooked people last season, and that was a welcome sight. So, yeah, I mean, he's back. The flag man is back. We're in. So,
Brandon, scale of 1 to 10, for the people that have or haven't seen it, I'm still going to offer you this question. Rate the Adam Flagler I'm back video.
It had to be a 10, right?
Wow.
I think so. I mean, let's think of the other videos that we've seen announcement-wise.
The Jared Butler one, just for the sheer fact that it was Jared Butler, that was a 10.
Yeah, maybe a 12 out of 10 per his jersey number, you know.
Nicely
I
done.
Also was a big fan of the Maceo Teague right after COVID hit, his highlight video. But yeah, I mean, it was just huge news. I think we got to go Flagler 10 out of 10 for his number as well.
It's like that. You ever seen the We Rate Dogs accounts on social media?
Yes.
And they're all like 13 or above out of 10. That's kind of what it feels like right now. I want to go ahead and preface too, the people that are listening on the podcast, that are listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, however you get your podcast. I opened the show today in a bear head that is actually a stolen bear head from a mascot in like 2010. This is just a fun aside to today's podcast. The show is going to get weird, folks. I have a buddy of mine who is at a football game wearing this bear head. And somebody leans over and they're like, "Hey, man, where'd you get that?" And he was like, "I don't know. I just kind of found it. Like one of my fraternity brothers a while back took it and has it." And they're like, "That's crazy, man. I was a mascot here in like 11. I lost my bear head." Just what a coincidence that must have been in the world. And now it is sitting in my room on my head to start the show and gazing upon my shoulder also in today's episode. But that is because it is a beacon of excitement with Adam Flagler coming back. Brandon, to cue you back into this, that was my soapbox, to cue you back into this. Flagler, I would say not a star, but certainly a key piece of a national championship team, right? My favorite play in the whole national championship is the least memorable one. It's Adam Flagler hitting like a 25-foot three-pointer. You're like, "Oh, there's Adam Flagler from the wing." It's just the most, I don't know why, but that's the moment that I remember being in the arena and seeing that. And he's coming back next season. I knew we were kind of expecting this, but it got a little nerve-wracking there late.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked a couple weeks ago, when like Bridges committed and then Loner came, you know, shortly after, and Grimes, we were trying to project what the lineup and rotation would look like. And we didn't really know, because we were hearing Flagler was getting decent feedback from NBA scouts. And I think it caught me a little bit by surprise that he even tested the waters. So, and especially when we saw D'Antuan Grimes signed on from a JUCO, we were doing the scholarship math, and I mean, I'm kind of just an idiot across the board when it doesn't come to just watching things on a court. And so I must have miscounted, and I was like, he might not be coming back. I don't see that there's, you know, the scholarship count there, but excited to have him back. All things that I read on Twitter show that he got valuable feedback. He was quoted saying that he's going to focus on what the draft scouts said, and he's looking forward to being a leader on the team. Funny aside, not to jump on my own soapbox following yours, which it was worth it because the Bearhead was legit. I'm currently still blocked on Twitter by John Rothstein, which makes my college basketball love very difficult to dig into. So I saw all the quote tweets and it just said tweet unavailable, but everything just said he's back. And I was like, what is going on? And so it took me a minute to connect the dots, but I'm excited he's back.
Thankfully, the Locked On Baylor to 1,000 followers account tweeted with the pew, 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 Adam Flagler back at Baylor. Otherwise, how would anyone have known? Because most people are now blocked by John Rothstein, I think, after last year's tournament.
Yeah.
Brandon, the news, of course, again, it's not shocking, right? this is not one of the, and I knew when Maceo Teague came back and Jared Butler and Davion, you had this vague idea that's probably going to happen. Matthew Meyer too is in that bunch. And you're like, all right, yeah, this is likely, but you're still, you get that little, that feeling, the little butterflies, like, all right, this is kind of coming together. Now, John Rothstein has rated Baylor 8th in the nation coming into the season next year. And you throw Adam Flagler into a lineup that looks like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I want to pitch this to you, see what you think and see if you'll give some pushback here. Give me Keyonte George. Number two player in the country, he can't sit on the bench. You can't ride him on the pine when the starting five's released next season. Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer, Jalen Bridges, and Flo Thamba. That has to be the five, right?
I think so. I think it has to. Keyonte, it seems like every time a new article comes out about him, he grows an inch. And so I think he has to
come. 7 foot three now, isn't that nuts?
And so I think he can play a legitimate, you know, kind of small three, or we're just going to play a three guard lineup, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be Flo and Bridges down low, depending on what Loner's ball skills look like. But I think Bridges' athleticism just offers us more stability. But we're going to have George's scoring. We're going to hope that LJ's, both of his feet are fine. I mean, I was blown away that a guy of his stature, two stress fractures, but I guess that's just the miles of college basketball. Flagler, you got to think, is going to be sort of an outside of the box starting point guard, but I think they'll all kind of do point guard by committee, and then that'll be the five we run. So I think Flo is going to be an anchor, and Flagler coming back is going to be huge for George's development, having been on that national championship team. Now I think it's going to be with him and Langston Love, two guys that need him to take under his wing and just go for it. So,
you know, that, and I've already seen people tweeting out, you know, preseason Big 12 player of the year, which he very well be in that conversation, especially, you know, obviously for all Big 12 team, but even outside of Flagler, you mentioned the three guard point guard by committee, and that I don't want to say that the national title team was purely that, but you saw a lot of point guard by committee when Jared Butler or Macy or Davion Mitchell, I should say, were manning that spot. Every now and then you'd see Macy bring the ball up. You had three guys. You're like, all right, they could probably do it. LJ, Adam were also thrown in that rotation. And for me, I have this whole like thing inside my head where it's like, oh, point guard by committee is just a death sentence and there's no way you can win with it. You must have a true point guard. But Baylor won a national championship. And I don't know if you agree or disagree. It felt like that was kind of point guard by committee.
I agree 100%. College basketball is such, I mean, I know you value the wings. They offer you a lot of flexibility, but it's a guard heavy, success driven sport. And so I think that depth is huge, especially God willing, there's no injuries because it felt like we just couldn't shake that last year. But if one goes down, I mean, we have the depth there. And honestly, I don't think there's going to be a huge drop off if Langston Love is the first guard off the bench. I mean, he hopefully his knee heals and he gets a full off season, but he was a force in the preseason last year and was going to be a real player. So I'm excited to see what he looks like as the fourth guard.
You know, I was looking at a tweet actually just now as I'm scrolling through kind of the Adam Flagler feed and what people are saying. And our friend Jake_needs on Twitter had actually tweeted that picture of the random Adam Flagler three-pointer against Gonzaga that helped Baylor win a national championship. He's got that pedigree and he's going to bring that to Baylor's team next year. I want to throw this out too before we go it's not a break, it's a read. I'm excited. Before we go to that, it feels like too from a locker room standpoint, I mean, we've talked about how Matthew Meyer was kind of not that guy, right? He was not he's looking over your shoulder, making sure you're studying. Probably not Matthew Meyer. Feels like Flagler's much more that guy.
For sure. I think he has like an old face, which sounds dumb, but he like looks wise. And maybe that's part of just our brains thinking he's going to be that guy. But I mean, he took the route similar that we've seen work in the Drew system, where he started at Presbyterian, he transferred to Baylor, he knows what the work needed to go in, and he knows what it takes to win. He was a contributor on the national championship team, was a lights out shooter that entire tournament, and I think he's going to drive success amongst the rest of the Baylor Bears going into next season. So, yeah, I agree completely.
Speaking of things being lights out, Brandon, when it comes to nutrition, turn out the lights. Turn out the lights over. Party's over. There's only one way that you should go and can go and will go, and that's with Built Bar. All right. I have said it this week already once. I'll say it again. The Built Bar brownie batter puffs. I already gave you the cake stuff. I'm off the cake stuff kick. I still eat them every now and then, but like the cake stuff's just getting like a, I don't know. It's good, but the brownie batter puffs are what's hitting me this week. Right now, 140 calories too, right now and always, by the way, they don't fluctuate. 140 calories, you go eat a candy bar, it's like a 250, 30 grams of sugar in that candy bar. These Built Bar brownie batter puffs, you hear brownie batter, you think, calories. What if I told you 140 calories and only 9 grams of sugar? 9 grams of sugar. I can lift that. That's insane. That's very, very little. So Built Bar Puffs, go try it out. Just like go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off your order at Built.com with promo code LOCKED15 and see what I'm talking about. Try it once. If you don't like it, send the rest to me. I will not give you a refund, but now you know that you don't like it. But I promise you, you will. If you go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. Brandon, the next conversation that I want to have, I also, might I throw this out there, we were supposed to be joined today by a guest from South Florida to talk Gary Bohannon. I promised that on yesterday's show, and we pushed that to Friday. That is now Friday. Our friend John Garcia Jr. will be joining us on Monday, so we're kind of moving everything back this week with Adam Flagler's news dropping. And what I want to hit now, you have traded, effectively, Adam Flagler for Matthew Meyer, right? And given the opportunity to pick both, do you feel like Baylor got the better end of this trade?
That's such a tough question, just positionally and how we saw Drew run plays that were so wing dominant last year, which was different than what he did 2 years ago when we had a guard heavy team. I think coming into this season, where we have more depth at guard anyway, so I think I would take that trade. I think the offense is going to focus on highlighting Keyonte, LJ, Langston, now Flagler. And not to say that Bridges and Loner are not solid wings or to shortchange Jordan Turner, who's been in the system for a long time. But I think if we look at where we were already deep, adding additional depth, that's where Drew has always gone. Where's my strength? Where's my depth? That's where our team's going to operate. And so it's no slight on Meyer. Like, I still think very highly of Matthew Meyer. Hope, assuming he doesn't join a team in the Big 12, pulling a Kevin McCullough from Tech to Kansas.
But I
think Flagler is a more important piece to what we need to do moving forward this year to help mold George, Love, Grimes, continue to help Bonner, Cryer, et cetera, just with his experience.
Help me make sense of this in my own brain. I am trying to grapple with the fact that in my mind, it feels like in the trade, the Matthew Meyer for Adam Flagler that Baylor's basically making, it feels like Meyer is much more dangerous player on an opposing team against Baylor than Flagler would be. Maybe that's just because kind of how I see Meyer's mind work. He seems like a very, like, could fill a villain role against a Baylor and kind of the next season he dedicates to proving all the haters wrong, which a lot of players do when they don't really have any haters. It's just like the cool thing to do. It's like, oh, okay, sweet. And maybe am I irrational for feeling that way, that almost like this trade-off is going to create the Matthew Meyer villain origin story, and Adam Flagler, is he a powerful enough hero that if these two forces meet, Flagler can win?
I think so. You're it seems like you're baiting me into speaking ill of Matthew Meyer in that
You get to do it.
And I'm going to take it because this is your show, not mine. People can choose to not listen when I'm on. So I think that Meyer, we feel that danger because the highs were so freaking high.
Yeah.
That it was like, oh, he just spun somebody on the baseline and then dunked on everyone. Or he just went lights out from three and, you know, did all these things or played great defense. But with how steady Flagler is, I think if we're playing Meyer again, he might get caught up in that moment. He certainly could rise to the occasion and put 30 on us, but I just think Flagler will steady the ship and do more for others and be a better creator, run the offense, call out defense calls, and just set us up for better success. So will they go toe-to-toe and will Flagler match that 30? Maybe not, but will Flagler elevate the rest of the team? I think so.
Brandon, now you have next season of your five starters, two of them will be newcomers, one being a transfer in Jalen Bridges, the other being Keyonte George. And what's weird to me too, it feels like Adam Flagler is like 27 now. He's not. He has an old face. That's all that it is. But you have 27-year-old Adam Flagler and like 16-year-old Keyonte George, right? The young buck who comes in as a freshman, which seems to be more and more prevalent in college basketball. But when you look at Baylor's national championship team, those were old dudes contributing to a championship. And that's what you're seeing. Kansas last year, old freaking dudes. Virginia and Texas Tech was like a citizen's care home for college basketball national champions. And that's the trend of the game now. So when you have a transfer, which we've seen work at Baylor plenty of times under Scott Drew, but B, a freshman at a pretty pivotal guard spot, do you think this Baylor team next year has as high of a ceiling as that 2021 team with Flagler back?
I do think so, for a few reasons. So we saw that recipe with last year's starting five to some extent too, right? We saw Kendall Brown, a true freshman, James Akinjo, a transfer. So we're basically flipping the positions. I think it's more important to have, you know, a ball scorer like Keontae is going to be a different kind of freshman than Kendall and Sohan, which pains me to say, because if anybody follows me on Twitter, my love for Jeremy Sohan essentially exuded. But I just think that Keontae is going to be a different kind of freshman. And although we're seeing these experienced teams winning national championships, Baylor doesn't lack experience necessarily. Yes, their starting five might be a little bit younger, new to Waco, but it's not that the entire roster and role players and guys that will play 20 plus minutes lack that experience. And I also think, and I mean, this is just the quick look that I've done of rosters and preseason top 25s, et cetera. Right. And everything is still yet to be determined because of the June 1st draft declaration date. But it feels like there's less of a talent gap in the top 25 currently. Like Creighton with Baylor Shireman is people's sexy top five pick. And I think we would run them out of the gym tomorrow. So I think that it's just so open. And if we stay healthy, I think the ceiling is a national championship.
So Brandon, the final topic that I want to hit in today's show, it revolves exactly around that. The top 25, like I said, Rothstein, who you're very, very close with, has Baylor at number 8 in his preseason. And most people have Baylor in that realm. I saw Baylor, I think, in the way too earlys, as low as the 12 spot, the 10 or 12 spot. And I think they'll steadily move up now that you have Jalen Bridges, Caleb Lohner, and Flagler coming back, LJ Cryer as well. So what is it that is going to make this team a top 5, top 10 caliber team in comparison to those other squads like Creighton that you're looking at?
I'm going to sound like a just broken record, but the Scott Drew and the staff and just they've proven year after year that they can do a lot with a little bit of a smaller talent pool. Yeah. Now we have a bigger talent pool. We have experience. And I think that the system is still there. What's to be determined, and honestly, what I think is factoring into some of those 12 ranking, 10 ranking, 8 ranking, is what is the departure of Tang going to do as well? I think that's a big loss. I trust in Jakus and Brooks, and I think Tweedy Carter is going to be incredible to come in and work with this guard rotation. But I think there's people see this turnover, and they see the loss to UNC in the second round. That's that recency bias is factoring into that. But I think Drew and the staff, and then just the pure talent and experience that's coming in, is going to help us compete. And I think as Baylor fans, it's easy to think in the vacuum of what's going on in Waco, but that's happening all across the country. Yeah. So it's not like we're now going to be playing Kansas with Agbaji and Braun and all those guys. Every team retools. That's the beauty of college sports, and I think we'll be just fine.
Brandon, we're talking the full scope of college basketball, even in the Big 12. I have an analogy for you. So I bought a new cowboy hat today. This right here.
I saw your tweet asking where to get one in Waco. I'm glad you found a spot.
I bought a new cowboy hat. I went to Cavender's. Pretty cheap. I like it. It's not felt exactly, but it's also not one of those plastic ones, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what I had? You know what I used to have? You know why I bought it? You've seen the show before. Why I wear cowboy hats. So the old one I had, I cherished it, loved it. Really dang good cowboy hat. It was signed by Clito Cordero, too, lead singer of a band called Flatland Cavalry, which is one of my favorites. Made it really sentimental to me, right? Well, one of my roommates took that hat. And so it turns out it had belonged to him the entire time. but I just kind of wore it. But then I had to get a new hat because mine was taken from me. And I loved that old hat. It was the best hat in the world. Brandon, I loved that Jerome Tang. He was the best assistant coach in the world. And then he was taken from us by someone who owned his heart already. Emaw, the Kansas State Wildcats. How much does Baylor feel the effect of that in year one?
I think that Jakus and Brooks are ready. I really do. I think the effect that we'll feel is going to be when we play Kansas State and they don't roll over because Tang has the boys ready. But I think that Jakus and Brooks are ready. I think that the whole staff is ready. It's not to undersell what Tang did for the program for 19 years by any means. I just think that Drew breeds this coaching by committee and just everyone is bought in and the players know that. And I also don't think that Tang leaving was necessarily a shock to the guys who stayed. They probably saw that coming. So I think we're ready to go. And I think the full offseason, it happened so early that the roles will be defined and we'll be ready to rock. Maybe I'm being too optimistic, but that's what I think. I was talking to a buddy actually that I work with, and he's also a friend from Baylor. He was in my wedding, but we happened to work together.
Shout him out. What's his name? Say his name.
Cameron Duffy is his name. And we were messaging over Teams at work about work things. And I quickly said, I miss Jerome Tang. And he said, it's time to let go. That man's bye-bye. And so at that moment, the switch flipped. And I was like, I'm all in on the existing staff. We're ready to go.
Wow. Tattoo that on your forehead.
Wise words from Cameron Duffy.
It's time to go bye-bye? Is that what he said?
That's what he said. That man is bye-bye.
That man is bye-bye. Elite stuff from Brandon McKinnon via Cameron McDuffy.
Yeah. Cameron Duffy. Yeah.
Cameron Duffy. Even better. Last couple of things I kind of want to toss out to you here, Brandon. The first being kind of on the realm of the Jerome Tang movement. What does it say about not just Scott Drew, but also Jerome Tang and this program that not a single player left Baylor for Kansas State?
Yeah, I think that's part of what makes me so confident in the rest of the staff. Mm-hmm. It would have been one thing. I mean, Dylan Hunter had decommitted, and let's say he went to Kansas State.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a red flag, but he didn't. He went to Clemson. And so I think it just speaks to the family culture that Drew and you hear all the players talking about, not just being hot air into a mic, but truly what exists. I think it's great. And I also think it speaks to Tang not poaching players. He's been that guy that is very upfront about his faith, about how important family is. And I think by not doing sus stuff, he lives that out even more. And so it makes me respect Tang, but also have confidence in the staff within the four walls of the Ferrell Center.
Well, Brandon, I will close this conversation rapidly, quickly, not because of you, because there is a fly in this room. I don't know if you've
seen it. I've been watching you battle it this entire time.
It is landed on my cheek, on my ear. If you're on YouTube, I'm sure you've seen it. This is new for the podcast. Again, I knew today's show would get weird. I didn't know it because the fly that's on my face now.
Between the fly and the bear head, a reason to subscribe to the YouTube channel.
100%. We gotta bump those numbers. It has been another unbelievable day at Locked On Baylor. I almost said Our Daily Bears. That's you, not me. The one thing that's kind of burning for me, for you, you study Baylor basketball, right? Mm-hmm. Some people have hobbies. You have Baylor basketball. So when you look down up and down this roster, last year you saw like six or seven guys. I was really confident at the end of the year in six guys to see the floor. And maybe Kendall Brown's not even in that equation and you drop it to five. What is your ideal six to eight, maybe even nine contributors next season for Baylor basketball? What is it going to look like? The key pieces out there for Scott Drew.
Yeah. And also I love the hot take that the first round pick probably of Kendall Brown is not in your six guys.
He also, I think in the overtime game against UNC, he played like 23 minutes. Dude, that's bad.
Yeah. I'm not ducking your question. We said this was going to go off the rails, but I was watching that game with a bunch of buddies from Baylor that live in Austin. My wife and I were there, and I was a few too many Dr. Peppers, hazy Dr. Peppers deep. And
with ice cream.
Yeah. And I looked at a buddy, and they panned to Kendall Brown on the sidelines. And I was like, bro, if we win this game, I don't think that like he can play again. not a slight on his mentals, because I know he's a great guy and like he was loved, and I'm not trying to talk bad about him, but I was like, that was just brutal. Back to your question.
No, I like that Scott's looking down the bench is like, well, we have Zach Loveday, and Kendall's just head between his legs.
Yeah. Yeah, Loveday saw the floor in that game. Oh my God, that game was absurd. Yeah, so the eight guys that I would say, I mean, the starting five we mentioned, right? So we have Flagler, Cryer, George, Bridges, Flo, right? And so we're going to have those three guards, point guard by committee, a wing and Bridges, quasi-forward, kind of what we saw with Vital, championship team, and then Flo, right?
I like it.
And so then coming off the bench, I'm still super high on Langston Love. I actually have a group text with some friends that's just titled Langston Love is Tall because he's like listed at 6'5 or 6'6, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
So Langston Love, Dale Bonner is going to continue to give you the strong minutes that you need. He's going to do Dale Bonner things. My buddy actually bought a Dale Bonner jersey the day that those went on sale. And I was like, I just love it. Caleb Lohner has a super high ceiling, I think.
Yeah.
His injury last year at BYU, I think, played more of a factor into teams not pursuing him as aggressively in the transfer portal. But his ceiling is super high. Like, his high school highlights are phenomenal. And then I think depending on when EJ's knee gets back, I've seen so many people on Twitter telling me he's not going to play all year. And in my own brain, I just like can't reconcile that.
Right.
I think I'm hoping he plays by conference. So that's nine guys right there. And we haven't even, you know, talked about if Jordan Turner takes a leap, if Loveday takes a leap, you know, does Dan Twan Grimes show up and like present something from an athleticism standpoint that's a change of pace guy? I don't really think so. Those are some stretches.
Yeah.
But you could get to a solid 10 guys where you're like, these dudes will play.
You ever seen The Office episode where you watch The Office?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Where Dwight takes
Ryan. Am I American?
Yeah, it's good. Where Dwight takes Ryan out to the farm and just he's showing him how to like plant beets, and then he jumps in the car and just leaves, strands Ryan.
Yes.
Very like Mr. Miyagi, wash on, wash off. I hope like Scott Drew just drives Zach Loveday and Jordan Turner into a field, and there's just like a pumpkin and a big round basket.
Yes.
And he pulls like a Nick Kroll, Larry Bird, just don't miss, and then just leaves. And they both have to put these gourds into the basket in some kind of like snap moment. Because then you're looking at like, if you get 10 guys that could legitimately contribute to this team, EJ comes back. Talk about Baylor too, is really good at controlling injuries. I mean, they took Jared Butler on a huge risk from Alabama solely because they knew how to handle his heart condition.
Right.
So you think Baylor and handling injuries correctly, they've done a pretty good job in the past. Granted, you know, the Cryer situation was weird, but that's a fun aside to say, maybe those guys take leaps.
I would love it. I mean, it makes no sense. They were both four stars. They were both great players. I don't know.
Loveday was a four star?
I think so, out of Ohio.
Wow.
At one point.
Big if true. Big if true.
I think he was a four star. Actually, I know you said we need to end abruptly, but I need to know.
Yeah, we don't need to end that abruptly. I think I would also say any listeners that have made it this far are also wondering how and what.
He was at one point rated a four star, but he dropped to a three star, 92 rating.
Wouldn't you know? At one point in time, a scout looked at that guy and said, four stars.
But we do love him. He's a Baylor Bear. We're not talking ill of him. We would just love to see him put the pumpkin in
Hopefully,
the basket more.
Put that just a little bit. Shooting for show-offs, Larry. Let's just get him. Let's just a little bit more from our friend Zach Loveday. So, Brandon, thanks for hopping on today on a weird episode. We just, you know, the news breaks, we record a show. Where can folks find your basketball coverage?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing some cool off-season stuff with our Daily Bears. Already put up some articles about all the transfer guys. Throughout the summer, going to be breaking down each position group, including coaches, and look at what they can do for the program going into the fall, trying to give those Baylor basketball truthers some content in the midst of some great football stuff. I'm very high on Baylor football as well, but I can't step aside from basketball. So ourdailybears.com, and then find me on Twitter @Brandon_Mac. That's where I'm at.
Beautiful. Brandon, I love it. I love the fact that Adam Flagler is coming back to be a Bear and gave me my first excuse to use the bear head today. If anybody out there was a mascot in like 2010 and lost their bear head, I have it. Brandon, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, bro.
I love it. Folks at home, thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. And I forgot that I have another reader, so you just got to bear with me. I like that. And make your second listen to the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Rafael Barlow, Richard Stamen, a whole bunch of guys covering the big boards. Jeremy Sohan, Kendall Brown, where are those guys going? James Akinjo, Locked On NBA Big Board, every day, Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Come back tomorrow. We're joined by our good buddy, Steeg. That's right, Steeg from the Daily Stampede covering South Florida Bulls. Why did Gary Bohannon go to South Florida? Well, we know now. You don't want to miss it. This has been, always will be, the Bearhead kind of day at Locked On Baylor.